Hello and welcome to the Mejlis Podcast, Radio Free Europe, Radio Liberty's current affairs talk show focusing on Central Asia. I'm Bruce Pannier, host of the Mejlis and author of the weekly Central Asia and Focus newsletter. December 3rd is the International Day of Persons with Disabilities. So on this program, we're returning to the topic of persons with disabilities in Central Asia, how their rights are being observed, and what steps are being taken to integrate them into society. To discuss all this, I'm joined by Zeynep Dyakanvayeva. She's from Kyrgyzstan, and she's the program manager and lawyer of the NGO Parents of Children with Disabilities, or ARDI, and she has been working to implement social and legal projects for the disabled. Mirsaid Mukhtorov is from Uzbekistan. He's a student of international law at the Faculty of University of World Economy and Diplomacy and an independent researcher of rights of people with disabilities. Dilmurat Yusupov is also from Uzbekistan, but he's currently in Britain, and he is an activist researcher advocating for disability and inclusive development in Uzbekistan. He's the co-founder of Sharait Plus, an organization which aims to promote the barrier-free and inclusive society for all disabled people in Uzbekistan. Thank you all for joining me. Dilmurat, I would like to start with you. Could you take us through the Sustainable Development's goal and disability? And let's begin with have all the Central Asian governments signed on to this?
Hi, everyone. Thank you very much, Bruce, for organizing this podcast. And this year's theme of the International Day of Persons with Disabilities is United in Action to Rescue and Achieve the Sustainable Development Goals for, with, and by persons with disabilities. As we may know, that all countries, they agreed to foster these SDGs, they call it Sustainable Development Goals, and by 2030 achieve this promised sustainable development. And five of these goals, they include disability inclusion directly. It's really interesting because before SDGs, they were Millennium Development Goals and they didn't mention disability in any way. And this time the UN and the whole UN system, the member countries, they agreed to foster disability inclusion. And this year's theme for the International Day of Persons with Disabilities is rescuing SDGs. And this year, we are facing many crises, starting from climate change towards violent conflicts. And there is a big threat that by 2030, the promised goals will not be achieved. And therefore, the UN and many countries, they are now trying to rescue the global goals. And what does it mean for persons with disabilities is that we should take into consideration their needs and the problems and the barriers they're facing in their daily lives. For example, in goal four, there is a need to provide quality and inclusive education for persons with disabilities. In goal eight, we need to provide decent jobs and economic opportunities for persons with disabilities. And the goal 10 on SDG is about reducing inequalities. And also goal 11 on building sustainable cities and accessible cities for persons with disabilities. And there is a need for partnership to achieve these goals. And this goal 17 is about this fostering partnerships. And the UN just reported that the preliminary findings of this year's Disability and Development Report showing that many of these goals are not really achieved and the world is failing. The world is falling behind these goals. And this year's theme, I just wanted to discuss with our colleagues today as well how our countries are coping with this and will we be able to achieve these goals by 2030, which seems to me really unrealistic because it's already 6 years left until 2030. So basically, it's all about this.
Okay, thank you, Dilmurat. Zeynep, can you tell us how the situation is in Kyrgyzstan? I mean, and I know that Kyrgyzstan is very active these days with all kinds of things happening there. But how are they progressing in meeting these SDGs in Kyrgyzstan?
Hello to everyone. First of all, thank you for the invitation. Kyrgyzstan ratified the convention of CRPD in 2019. And now Kyrgyzstan tried to work on and go through human rights-based approach. and we try to develop our laws and legislations according to disability rights and SDGs. We try to also work with this. For instance, for rights of education, we work with Association of Development of Education in Kyrgyzstan, AROK organization, and we work for promoting inclusiveness and inclusive education. In this year, we included inclusive education chapter for in the law of education. It is the first time when inclusive education was written by the human rights-based approach with all the mechanisms. And it is compliance with the SDGs. And we also try to fight for right of education and inclusiveness with the right of education and with all different kind of rights. But however, unfortunately, as Dil Murad said, in our countries, we don't have a huge progress with the rights of people with disabilities. For instance, 2 days ago, 3 days ago, we had a accessibility action. And unfortunately, during the last year, nothing changed for the better progressive. We don't have accessibility in our countries. And it is also the issue of inclusiveness that written in SDGs and in convention as well. But we try to work on this with the government, with all international organizations and NGOs together. And we try to make bigger impact in the further years.
Okay, thank you very much. You know, when you mentioned education, so this is a good time to go to Mir Said. Mir Said, you're blind, but you are studying right now at the International Law Faculty. What are some of the challenges you've encountered to get an education, at a higher education, you know, in your country?
After the ratification of the Convention of People with on the Rights of People with Disabilities, Uzbekistan has developed inclusive education in universities. But now we have a bit problems, and the universities try to decide the problems of students with disabilities. For example, in Uzbekistan, we have 2% quota. I mean, 2%. All students for people with disabilities. That's why it's very well for people with disabilities to study for free. They don't pay money to study studying process. For example, we have a big problems with Braille literature in our spheres. For example, in my sphere, international law. That's why it impacts for my studying. And then we have an audio books problem, because we don't have any audiobooks in my sphere. That's why I also face with some problems to study in high education. But the people with visual disabilities try to decide these problems with screen reader programs, such as NVDA or et cetera and et cetera. And I think Uzbekistan and other countries of Central Asia try to decide this problem. Because I know that in Kyrgyzstan and Kazakhstan and other Central Asian countries, the people with visual disabilities faced with the same problems as me.
Okay, thank you. Zeynep, let me go back to you in Kyrgyzstan. What kind of programs do they have for persons with disabilities to get education, especially higher education? You know, Mir Said said that you can get education for free. Is there anything like that in Kyrgyzstan?
Yes, we have like a quota system. For instance, our organization, the public organization of parents of children with disabilities, we are now researching how these quotas gives yearly for people with disabilities. They can get them and use them to get accessible to higher education. And after 1 month, we will get a full results of this research. And maybe next year I can tell about the result of this research. But for this time, I can say that average amount of people with disabilities in every university's list, one or two, and the most six or seven. And others pay for different kind of faculties, different kind of specializations, but they have a discount or scholarship from the universities. Among 10 or 50, it is more often, but sometimes universities offers full scholarship for them also.
Oh, okay, good. This is good news. Yeah. And we're going to go to the first. I think we should start to talk a little bit about basic education at for children who have disabilities. Dilmurat, let me bring you back in here. What's the situation? We've talked a little bit about higher education, which is good, but really the process of educating a person starts when they are a child. How is the situation for educating children with disabilities?
Thank you for this question, Bruce, and thanks for colleagues. You're right that we should start from the very beginning. And in Uzbekistan, we now have the Ministry of Preschool and School Education. They were two ministries. They were joined into one ministry. And I think we should start talking about inclusion at the preschool level. So we have a concept of development of inclusive education by 2030, which coincides with the SDG agenda as well. And the problem is, from my point of view, is they are now saying that inclusive education has become a trend, but the schools are not really ready to accept children with disabilities. For example, I've been recently contacted by a group of parents of children with learning disabilities, like with autism, Down syndrome. They are now starting to go to like a mainstream school, but the problem is they lack tutors. Like tutors are those who help during the education process, and there is no position of tutors, and then they are not really paid. Now you can only get volunteers like from Tashkent State Pedagogical University, and then final year graduate students, they can become a volunteer and then go to school to tutor children with disabilities, but it's not a solution. It's not a sustainable solution. And the schools themselves, from the accessibility point of view, are not really ready to accept children with disabilities. There is a goodwill to include children, but we're still having a lack of resources within schools, mainstream schools. And also, I just wanted to add about the higher education. It was an interesting observation that the Ministry of Preschool and School Education, they have a department on development of inclusive education, but the Ministry of Higher Education, Science and Innovations, it turned out that they don't have any department to deal with students with disabilities. And if we know from the, for example, Western universities, there are specific kind of support centers, departments for students with disabilities, but national universities still don't have them in Uzbekistan. So many students with disabilities like Mir Said, they are left behind of any support. So they should do everything by themselves, like find accessible books, like textbooks, etc. So I have an information that now in Uzbekistan, there are 4,853, like almost 5,000 students with disabilities at national universities, but there is no single department that would deal with their problems. So this is an important point, I think.
Okay, thank you. Sainab, let me come back to you real quick. Can you talk a little bit about elementary education in Kyrgyzstan for persons with disabilities?
Yeah, I agree with Dilmurat. We have the same problem. And I wanted to say why elementary school or general school or high school cannot accept people with children with disabilities. We have only pilots with international organizations or NGOs. They try to tutoring children with disabilities with adaptive programs, with prepared schools, and by creating development, special educational, inclusive area, and etc. However, it is because of the pilots, and it is not included into the state originally system. Not very many children with disabilities can study with inclusive education in all level, preschool level, school level, college level, universities level, and etc. Why we have this kind of problem? Because in our country, NGOs pilots or international organization pilots not researched by the state, by the Ministry of Education. As I said, we have a new educational law this year. The Parliament of the Kyrgyz Republic accepted this law, and I work with different kind of partners with this law, and we also included additional finance for the inclusive education in the all levels, and also that schools, universities, college will be motivated to accept children with disabilities and adults with disabilities in their educational programs. And we also included different kind of mechanisms how to develop inclusive education. But now it is because entering into force this year, and because we don't have enough trained teachers, and this program just will be started next year. And also, I know some international organizations, they're also ready to support inclusive education. And we also will try to monitor the process of accomplishing this program. And because we don't have still systematical practice with inclusive education, we have special education, school boardings, correction classes. We have just without any support and facilities some children in general schools, but it is not inclusive education. Therefore, we just now try to see the best ways how to start to practice that norms that we include into the new norm according to the inclusive education. Therefore, I cannot say that in preschool or in the primary school we have rich inclusive practice right now. We have some good practice in the private school. They also try to include the inclusive education and try to research different kind of practice. But it is just in the beginning level, I will say like this. But we hope that because of the new law of education, this situation will be in the progress. But we have a special education, and in this situation, as I know, 15 or 17% of children with disabilities have access to education. Maybe this percent higher, but we don't have a stable and valid statistics in this sphere also. Therefore, I'm not very sure about this. Thank you very much.
Thank you. Mir Said, you're on your way to being a lawyer. You're studying law right now. But can you take us back? What were some of the big challenges you faced just getting through school, elementary school, gymnasia, those things? What were some of the challenges?
The big challenge was that I studied at the blind boarding school. That's why I have problems with integration to people without disabilities. And it was a big problem for me to integrate with them. In universities, on a Russian class, we don't have some books for to study in Braille, and that's why we used the Soviet books from which were produced in Soviet Union. I mean, 40 or 50 years ago. And it was, I think, my big challenge. And another my challenge was the bullying from my teenagers without disabilities, because they didn't know about me anything, and I also didn't know about them anything. That's why I have a bit bullied. And other children with visual disabilities are faced with this bullying in the street, at the streets, and etc., and etc.
Lost you there a little bit at the end, bullying after the bullying, which is a horrible story. But thank you. We've been joined by Medina Karsakpaeva from Kazakhstan. Hello, Medina. I haven't spoken with you in a while. We've been, to bring you up on where we are, we've been talking about education, inclusive education in Central Asia. So could you talk us a little bit about education for persons with disabilities at the elementary school level and at the upper, at university level?
Hello, colleagues. Greetings from Almaty. Well, I guess the school level is more accessible, or, you know, something to get access or inclusion in Kazakhstan for now. At least we have the practice of inclusive classrooms. I'm not sure if those classrooms within the general school consider or accept children with different types of disability. As far as I know, we have such classrooms for children who have autism spectrum disorders, different levels or forms of that impairment. And for university, the situation is actually not really changing, even though the number of students with disabilities involved, enrolled in higher education is very gradually, slowly growing. But the difference is really small. I mean, between the years, let's say. For last year, we, at least for now, we do not have, I think we don't have even 2,000 university students. And again, the data numbers is always hard to get. I hope I answered your question.
If you could talk a little bit more about elementary school, just so I'm clear on, do they have special programs, tutors for persons with disabilities?
Thanks for the question. We have the practice of tutors. Again, it's related to autism only for now, but the legislation is changing. At least I see that, you know, on school level, there are some developments and some changes. For example, we have this quite recently introduced tutor position, and
Well, I think we just lost Medina. Okay, well, this is actually, it's a good time to remind that we're talking about the recent challenges persons with disabilities face in Central Asia, and my guests are Mirsaeed Mukhtarov, who's from Uzbekistan, and he's a student of the International Law Faculty at the University of World Economy and Diplomacy, and an independent researcher of rights of people with disabilities. Dilmurad Yusupov is an activist and researcher advocating for disability inclusive development in Uzbekistan. He is the co-founder of the NGO Sharait Plus, an organization which aims to promote barrier-free and inclusive society for all disabled people in Uzbekistan. Sayanip Dyunkanbayeva. She is a program manager and lawyer at the NGO Parents of Children with Disabilities, or RD, in Kyrgyzstan, who has been working to implement social and legal projects for the disabled. Thanks again for you all being here. Dilmurad, let's go back to you for this one. Okay, we've been talking a lot about education, but let's go to the workplace. What happens, you know, we got educated people. Mirsaeed is studying to be a lawyer. All kinds of people with education out there. How easy is it for them to get a job? And is it becoming easier for persons with disabilities to find employment after they finish their education?
This is one of the biggest problems now, because as Zeynep was also saying, we also have these quotas to enter higher education. So we have almost 5,000 students with disabilities studying, and they are now graduating universities. But now the problem is where to go. They don't know where to go, because even with their higher education diploma, because of the discrimination on the basis of disability in the open labor market, even state organizations like public institutions, they are refusing to hire them. And private sector, it's really difficult for them to find jobs, actually. And As I already mentioned earlier, the SDG 8 asks the member countries to provide decent jobs and economic opportunities for persons with disabilities. We have some progress in this regard. In Uzbekistan, there's not only like just problems. We have also been working on this through our NGO, through our project, which is called Ish Plus, or in English, Job Plus. It's like an online platform, specialized recruitment platform for persons with disabilities. And we are trying to support their employment. But the biggest challenge is these stereotypical understanding of the abilities of persons with disabilities. They offer jobs like very low profile, low skilled jobs, like a cleaner, I don't know. And these people in private organizations and a public organization, they think that persons with disabilities are not eligible for work at the higher positions, like at the bank, for example, I don't know, or an IT specialist. In our society, it's still kind of a commonplace to think that persons with disabilities, or some kind of manual labor, they will do some sewing or they will do some repair of household appliances, and that's it. And for example, I'm really worried about Mir Said, because when he finishes, will any court or like any judicial institution be able to hire him because he has a disability? So maybe we can ask Mir Said about it.
Yeah, sure. Mir Said, what are your thoughts on this?
After the graduation of the universities, people with disabilities can find the work in some spheres. For example, people with visual disabilities work very successful in the musician sphere, in humanitarian lessons such as history, geography, law, and etc. In philological spheres, for example, Uzbek, Russian, etc. And they can work in other spheres, of course. But in Uzbekistan, we have a very good project. It's named Work Plus. In Uzbek, it's Ish Plus, which helps for people with disabilities to find their work. And my colleague, Dilmurat Aka, also works in this sphere. And this project helps us to find the work. But unfortunately, now, by the statistic, only 7 or 8% of people with disabilities can have permanent work in Uzbekistan, and these numbers are increasing. But I think employers don't want to give workplace for people with disabilities now, because they a bit afraid to give place for people with disabilities. I think it's the impact of Soviet Union and the health model of disability, I think. But their mind is developing, and more employers would like to help people with disabilities in employee. I mean, they would like to give the place them for work. I think that's my answer.
Okay, thank you. That's good. Zeynep, we'll get to you. It's the same question about employment. And, you know, Kyrgyzstan, at least, has the benefit of having Dastan Bekeshev, for instance, is legally blind, and he's a member of parliament in Kyrgyzstan.
You know, in Kyrgyzstan, we have a good opportunity for those who wanted to get deputies. We have quotas for them, and election, I know around 10 people with disabilities try to become deputy members of parliament, but only Dastan Bekeshev, unfortunately, won the election. I don't know, maybe because he's already a deputy and everybody know about him, and he already received some grants from people, and people believe to him, maybe because of this, but only Dastan Bekeshev, he won the election. But 9 people, they try to, with different kind of disabilities, also become the deputy, the members of the parliament. And it is also very good law opportunities for them, for people with disabilities to become members of the parliament or become deputy in the local areas. And also very good progress. I don't want to tell about only problems, because problems are very many. And as Dilmurat said, after graduation, not many people know how to get jobs. But, you know, in the Ministry of Labor and Social Procurement and Immigration of the Kyrgyz Republic with GIZ, I guess, and also Ravenstva organization, Equality, they try to prepare counselor, job counselor among people with disabilities in different state levels in the countries, like in the local municipalities. And they work by free, and they try to consult laborers and people with disabilities, how to work with people with disabilities. And it is have a good result, because now increase the number of enterprise and people who want to hire people with disabilities because of this pilot. And it is also very good practice when people with disabilities became like a counselor or advisor in the ministries or municipalities in the issue of people with disabilities. And because of it, we have this kind of progress in inclusiveness, and many people, they try to work with people with disabilities. They agree to work with the problems. It is a good picture. I mean, we have this kind of progress. But still in the labor, we have this kind of problems. But because of this practice, we know that Coca-Cola company, different kind of big companies hire people with disabilities, not just in a low position, as Dilmurat said, but in a higher position like a consultant or manager, etc., or re-educated them to work in a work position. And it is a very good picture also. However, because we don't have enough education and educated people with disabilities, therefore they can get a high, well-paid job. And most of the people with disabilities, they work in a low-paid job or in the NGOs sphere, or they open their own NGOs, or and the best, they become an expert in international organizations, NGOs, or the state bodies. They try to hire people with disabilities as an expert, and also it's like a job opportunity for people with disabilities. I'm sorry for my poor English, and I cannot explain my whole views and thoughts, but I hope you understand me.
No problem at all. And I'll say that your English is much better than my Russian or Kyrgyz. Don't worry about it at all. We are running close to the end of the show, but I want to get in a little bit more about these SDGs and what should be the next step here. And I'll start with Mir Said. What should be the next step to move things forward and help to create an inclusive society for persons with disabilities in Uzbekistan on their way to these goals, meeting these goals by 2030?
I think the next step will be to change the psychology of the society, try to understand them that people with disabilities are the full part of our society, and try to study them to be more humanistic for them, and to follow to the social model of disability. And then try, I think, to realize the aims of SDG with a partnership, in partner with the government, and then I think try to create some social videos and try to give an interviews in local social media places about creating of inclusive society in Uzbekistan and maybe in Central Asia, because as my colleagues said, we saw that situation in Central Asian countries is equal, I think, and that's why we should try to cooperate with each other and try to rechange the psychology and mind of society.
Okay, great. Thank you, Mirsaid. Appreciate it. Seynep, back to you. Over to you. What should be the next step for SDGs in trying to meet all these goals by 2030? What should Kyrgyzstan be doing next?
In my opinion, our country tried to work with SDGs, with inclusion also, and we also with Association for the Education Development in Kyrgyzstan tried to work with inclusive education. We had an analysis of inclusive education in Kyrgyzstan, and we have analysis of realization of the program for inclusive education. However, because of the pandemic situation in 2020, we don't have much impact with this program. However, we try to work with this. We try to analyze. Therefore, the second step for our work with SDGs in Kyrgyzstan, it is, and within the disability, it is, we need to see what the SDGs goals applies with disabilities, and how many impacts, how many results we get, the first of all. And the second, we need to see what kind of progress or plans we will include it further, the second. And the third, we also need to see and gather with a situational analysis, what do with SDGs and disability, different levels, starting from government, international organizations, and NGOs, and try to puzzle all the activities, all the efforts in this area. And the last one, I think we need to also see how our legislation, because we now drafting the new law of the rights of people with disabilities in our country, and I also participated in this process, and I also try to put disability rights norms in this draft law. Also, we need to see how it will work with SDGs, our new laws, regulations, and practice. It is the fifth step. And also, we need to see how our resources will be work and put all of these steps to work with disability rights, with to get more significant progress in the implementation of the rights of people with disabilities for the further years. Thank you.
Okay, great. Thank you. Dilmurat, the last word goes to you. What should be coming next? And then let me throw in something else. Should there actually be special government programs that kind of regulate, ensure that persons with disabilities are going to be able to get access to education and access to employment?
Yes, thank you. It's an important question because we need to track our progress. But the problem in most of our countries is that there is no reliable data and research about this progress. For instance, we still don't know the exact number of persons with disabilities in Uzbekistan, or maybe it's the same in Kyrgyzstan. The government is saying it's like 2.5% of the total population is persons with disabilities. And the government is refusing to include disability questions in the census. This year, we had the first ever census since 1989, since the year I was born. So we don't have any data to track progress in education. For example, I'm not sure how many persons with disabilities are actually employed. There is no reliable data. So we need this kind of data to track the progress. And of course, there should be specific programs. And we have a new agency on social protection, which is now trying to have all the functions on disability inclusion combined into one agency. And they are starting their work. And I hope that by 2030, I'm not sure that they will be able to achieve all these goals, but by 2030, we'll have some tangible progress to at least provide some accessibility and inclusion for persons with disabilities. And also in terms of the legislation, we have very beautifully written legislation, like the law on the rights of persons with disabilities. We have our colleagues, lawyers today, and I think they would agree that the implementation side is lacking. And there are no, for example, court cases in Uzbekistan on, I'm not hearing any court cases about the violation of the rights of persons with disabilities in the court. There was one case on gender equality recently in a successful case in the court, but I haven't seen any cases on related to persons with disabilities. So it means that these laws are not really implemented. And the government is reporting that we are doing this, we are doing that, but where is the evidence? So this would be my suggestion.
Okay, great. Thank you. And really, thank you all. We've kind of run out of time here, but it's been a great discussion. Obviously, I'm hoping that I can bring you all back on the program again real soon for news about some progress out there in Central Asia. But for now, thank you, Domorad Sayinip and Mir Said, and also thanks for Medina for being with us. I'm sorry we lost her connection there. And a big thank you, as always, to Nathan Shoemaker, our Mezlis podcast producer in Washington, D.C. And a reminder, you can subscribe to the Mezlis podcast or the Central Asia in Focus newsletter by visiting Radio Free Europe, Radio Liberty's website at rfarl.org. Thank you very much, and we'll be back next week. Bye-bye.